WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On January 16, 1991, most Americans were glued to their TVs and radios, desperate for information about the Gulf War, which had just begun. That first night, CNN's Peter Arnett, John Holliman, and Bernard Shaw gave us live descriptions of the most powerful air raid which had ever taken place, speaking by phone from their ninth-floor suite of the Al Rashid Hotel in Baghdad. 4 days later, Iraq expelled virtually the entire foreign press corps, with the exception of CNN. Tomorrow night, HBO presents a docudrama called Live from Baghdad about how CNN managed to scoop its rivals in covering the war and put itself on the map with viewers all over the world. The docudrama is based on the memoirs of Robert Wiener, who was CNN's executive producer in Baghdad from the time of Iraq's invasion of Kuwait through the first week of the war. He's played in the movie by Michael Keaton. I spoke with Wiener in 1992 and asked him to describe the moment he realized the bombing had begun.
Well, I was in the workspace of the Al Rashid, our office in room 906 with Bernie Shaw, when a flash of red light exploded in the sky. For the first moment, I didn't really want to believe it was happening, but I knew it actually was. And suddenly the sky was just filled with enormous amounts of light and sound. Bernie lunged for the four wire, that was our open telephone line to Atlanta, and we began broadcasting to our audience for the next 17 hours, uncensored. It was a hellacious moment, absolutely terrifying. People were running down the corridors of the Al Rashid, many people going to the shelter. I myself was frightened to death. For a while, I went down to the shelter to check on my colleagues, then came back up to room 906 of the Al Rashid, watched Bernie, John, and Peter continue to report. After a while, I sort of felt superfluous, and I returned to the shelter. At that point, the Iraqis locked us in the shelter, and we had to stay there until about 6 in the morning. But John, Peter, and Bernie managed to continue reporting from 906, and I guess the world knows what happened next.
What was the struggle going on in your mind between trying to save your life and trying to keep the story on the air, trying to be up on the ninth floor or trying to be down in the shelter?
Well, the real struggle actually began several hours before the war broke out, shortly after Marlon Fitzwater had urged reporters to leave Baghdad immediately. And most of those reporters that were in the Iraqi capital did so, in some cases ordered out by their news organizations. CNN left the decision up to us on the ground, and there were eight CNN staffers in Baghdad. And Bernie Shaw had come over, of course, to interview Saddam Hussein and had stayed until the 16th, was planning to stay until the 17th on the promise that an interview might take place then. Once we were told that President Saddam would not be doing the interview with Bernie, he was prepared to leave on the morning of the 17th, and we held this meeting, and three other staffers opted to leave along with Bernie. Volunteering to remain behind were Peter Arnett, of course, John Holliman, myself, and an extremely courageous engineer named Nick Robertson.
Why did you want to stay behind?
For a couple of reasons. Number one, I had been in Baghdad since August. I was the executive producer. People were in Baghdad at my behest, and I felt that it would be unconscionable for me to ask people to come to Baghdad to risk their lives and then for me to leave. So even though I was terribly frightened, I felt I should remain. Another key reason was my sense of competition. I felt that if I left, many other people might follow my lead, and our coverage would be compromised, and I wanted our coverage to be the best.
One of the many coups that you were responsible for was getting this open telephone line between CNN in Baghdad and CNN headquarters in Atlanta, and you got this installed in time for the beginning of the war. What did it take? to get the Iraqi cooperation in installing this?
Well, actually, the man that really deserves credit for putting in that four wire, as I explained in my book, is a fellow named Eason Jordan, who was a vice president for international coverage. Basically, he, in conjunction with our satellite folks in Atlanta, pushed the Iraqis to put in a line between Baghdad and Amman. And as far as the Iraqis knew, that was the only line that existed, from Baghdad to Amman. But then we continued the line from Amman to Atlanta. Now, once it was established and the Iraqis heard us using the four wire, which we did for a couple of months prior to the outbreak of the war, they came to me and said, Mr. Robert, you've tricked us. This line goes to Atlanta. But we had a pretty good relationship with these folks, and I said, well, it's going to Atlanta. Why not? Why not keep it up? Otherwise, we'll have to do things delayed on tape, and since we're already in Amman, let's let it go to Atlanta. And they basically relented.
Some of your colleagues at other networks said that CNN got special treatment because CNN had been less critical of its coverage of Iraq.
Well, yeah, I know they've said that. I think our executive vice president, Ed Turner, put it best that 1991 was a vintage year for sour grapes.
One of the keys to CNN's coverage from Baghdad was the technology you were able to bring in. And you had gotten Saddam Hussein's permission to bring in a portable TV transmitter.
How we were able to get one in was based on a negotiating strategy I had with the Iraqis, which worked as follows. We did not have permission to have an Inmarsat telephone in there in the first place.
That's a satellite telephone.
Right. So I went to the Iraqis just prior to the outbreak of the war, and I said, look, guys, it's pretty obvious that the telephone system here is not going to exist once the war begins. And they said, well, we're not so sure. In fact, the Minister of Information, Jassim, had said to me, Mr. Robert, and he said this very seriously, American planes will never reach Baghdad. Whether this was posturing or whatever, he did relate that. And I said, well, Mr. Minister, trust me, if American planes come here, the telecommunications center will be a prime target. So let's see if we could work out a compromise. We will continue to use our four wire, which goes through your telecommunications center. But in the event the telephone service no longer works, I then want permission to use my Inmarsat satellite telephone. You see, the Iraqis were very paranoid about the satellite telephone. They had actually never seen one before, and their security services were very reluctant to bring it in. But I basically said we won't use it, and I gave them my word of honor that we wouldn't use it until or unless the telephone tower was gone. And finally, they said yes. So then I went back to the Iraqis the following day and said, look, guys, we also know, and let's assume that Iraqi television is going to be bombed. How about working out the same deal, letting us bring in our own television transmitter? But I give you my word of honor, we will not use it so long as Iraqi TV is capable of satelliting our material. And they agreed.
After the bombing started, the Iraqis suggested that you leave the Al-Rashid Hotel, and they said they would take you to an undisclosed location where they thought you would be safer. You refused. Why?
I did not like the idea of being cut off from the relative safety of the Al-Rashid, even though a cruise missile had landed in the on the grounds just before. I didn't like the idea of being cut off from our drivers. I didn't like the idea of being out in the countryside, perhaps for weeks, and the agony that would cause my wife and children and certainly my parents. I must say that Peter was single-minded in his determination to cover the story at all costs and was willing to go out to wherever the Iraqis wanted to take him so long as he could stay and report the story. But Nick Robertson and I, that's our engineer, decided that we wanted to follow our instincts, and our instincts were telling us this wasn't a particularly good idea. I felt badly leaving Peter, I must say, for a while, but the cruise missile that came in and propelled me across the room shook me up terribly. My hands were shaking so, so badly. I was just absolutely frightened, and so I decided it was time to leave. We taught Peter how to use the Inmarsat satellite telephone. Nick gave him a quick course, and Nick and I departed. When I got to Amman, I figured, okay, I'll take a breather in Amman and then return to Baghdad. Nick did, and others did. But when I got to Amman, I was told that my father had suffered a severe heart attack when the war broke out. No one had told me this when I was in Baghdad. And so I flew to Florida to take care of him.
One last question. It was CNN that got out the tape of the downed American pilots being interrogated by Iraqis.
I was there then.
Yeah, and you I think, got it out. This was originally broadcast on Iraqi television.
Mm-hmm.
You got a copy of the tape to show on CNN, and that's how we all first saw it. Did you ever ask yourself if the Iraqis did this in the first place, thinking that perhaps it would end up on CNN and that would be a good thing for them?
Well, I think that the Iraqis had no doubt that it would end up on CNN and other networks, which it did. Whether it would be a good thing, I think the Iraqis thought that seeing American pilots in Baghdad would show the world that the coalition was vulnerable.
So did you have any doubts about putting that on TV?
No, none at all. I had a lot of personal feelings because I'm an American citizen and I saw these pilots. They were terribly frightened. You could see in their eyes they didn't know whether they would be paraded through the streets of Baghdad, whether they would be physically abused or tortured. My heart really went out to them. By the same token, I felt that this is news and our audience should see and hear from these guys. You know, we're in the business of putting out information. We don't believe that you can have too much information. We put it out there, and we have a lot of respect for our audience, and that's that.
Robert Wiener, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Surely. Thank you.
Robert Wiener, CNN's producer in Baghdad during Iraq's invasion of Kuwait and the first week of the Gulf War. Tomorrow night, HBO premieres Live from Baghdad, based on Wiener's memoir of the same name. This is Fresh Air.